Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have experienced this. If you ever entered a room where someone is watching the TV and the show's in progress, and so you start watching the show and then you look at it and go, what's going on? Shh. Don't bother me, I'm watching, and you want to get caught up with what's action? I mean, or you've experienced an event on the TV, like a sports event that's gone over, it's a lot of time, and at the very end, we now join our program in progress. Why are they doing that? Because you've missed that portion that was in progress before you came to it? Have you ever experienced that frustration of trying to figure out, why is that character doing that? Well, what's the name of that character? And just trying to figure out the action, the names of the character, whether it's a movie, a show, or they just don't make any sense because something happened earlier in the story and you missed it. And so to make sense of what's unfolding before your eyes, the pieces are missing. You just can't put it together. Well, this morning, in a fashion, you're entering a sermon already in progress. We have been walking very slowly through the book of 1 Peter, almost verse by verse. Three episodes, that is, three sermon messages have already been shared. If you want to hear a couple of the previous sermon messages, they're on our website, www.ficlc.net, and you go to the pastor's page, and from the pastor's page, you can get to a whole year's plus worth of sermons online. If you want to catch up on 1 Peter, there's two of them that are up there for you. But to help you this morning to get into this incredibly wonderful letter from Peter, I'll share a brief synopsis. Peter, former fisherman known as Simon. He's the man who denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. He's now the leader of the early church, and he's written to the believers in Asia Minor. That area is nowadays the land of Turkey. The believers were facing many hardships from persecution. Both Jewish and Gentile believers were severely persecuted. Nero is emperor in Rome. And Nero has begun a brutal oppression of Christians and extermination of them. To lift the hearts of the believers, to give them hope, Peter writes. He writes reminding them of who they are and what a great treasure is theirs. The believers are God's elect, chosen by God to be His before even time began. They were born again by the mercy of God and filled with hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope because they know their home truly is in heaven. Salvation is theirs. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, Jesus will come again. Will come again and raise them from the dead. The salvation that is theirs will be revealed to what the fullness of that salvation truly is. And it will be seen by all. Life with God forever in heaven. The trials, the sufferings, the grief of persecution, they're there. But they're also an opportunity so that you can know the faith. Know your faith in the living God. Faith in Jesus Christ that you possess as a believer is genuine and true. You know this to be true. For you love Jesus, even though you never saw Him. And you have great joy, even though you don't see Him now. You know He is coming again. The suffering and grief of this moment cannot compare to the great joy that is yours. Inexpressible and glorious joy, for the goal of your faith is yours, the salvation of your soul. Believers, as the chosen and elect of God, you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That sort of brings us up to the end of verse 9 in 1 Peter. Verse 10 begins with concerning this salvation. It reverts back to that outcome of faith, the salvation of your soul. This soul salvation was written about by the prophets long ago, meaning the Old Testament prophets, to help you understand the desire and plan to put into place of the salvation of your soul. It was not something new, found only in the New Testament. No. On the contrary, it reaches back to before time and is testified about through all of the Old Testament. The prophets, empowered by the Holy Spirit, pointed to salvation that was to come. The prophets, they wrote about the Messiah that was to come. Yet even though they wrote about the Messiah to come, they never fully understood nor comprehended all that it meant for the Messiah to be the Messiah, Redeemer, Savior, and that he was to suffer. They saw glimpses of it in the things that the Holy Spirit had him write, but they really didn't see really the bigness of God's plan, because it wasn't going to be revealed till the Son of God was revealed. The prophets, they spoke of the grace that was to come to you. Picture this: a prophet of God, guided, directed, moved by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, puts pen to paper and writes out words from God. And as that quill is lifted and ready to be dipped in ink again, rereading what was written, there's an overwhelming impression, kindles knowledge in that prophet's soul that this is from God. And that truth is so wonderful and powerful, the prophet wants to understand the meaning of what was written. What is the full meaning here? And so starts searching through other prophets. When will this come to pass? The Messiah is coming. But what is the timing? What is the full meaning? Salvation, that divine act of saving sinners, will happen. It's coming. My deliverer is coming. But when will it happen through the Messiah, the Anointed One? How would that grace of God, that entire aspect of God's saving work, how will it come about? Through the Messiah. These prophets wrote the prophecies. They wanted to know more. They wanted to understand the promise of salvation that is coming. I mean, that promise of salvation is right there in their writings. But they want to know more. It's coming. The promise of forgiveness. The promise of new life. They're in the words the prophets have written. All of this lavished on undeserving sinners, Jewish and Gentile alike, sinners alike, just like you and me. All of this lavished on undeserving sinners. Salvation has always been available, and it has always been by grace. The God testified throughout the Old Testament has always been a God of compassion and grace. The prophets were looking to see that Messiah that would manifest before them concerning the compassion and grace of God. Isaiah 45, it is written, "There is no God apart from me, a righteous God. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all of you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength." The prophets wrote about the grace that would extend to the farthest corners of the earth, to encompass all who would call upon the Lord, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, strong, weak, good, and utterly miserable, bad, wicked, evil. All can call on the Lord. Their prophecies carried meaning such that the New Testament writers, also inspired by the Holy Spirit, would quote the prophets when teaching and explaining about Jesus as the Christ, the Anointed One, as the Messiah and fulfillment of the prophets. Peter's writing that what the prophets had longed for, he, Peter, is preaching to you as the gospel of Jesus Christ. The story of redemption is all through the Old Testament. The prophets recognized it, but their recognition was only a glimpse of the truly great grace that was revealed when Christ Jesus came. Grace that was to come to you, to me. The prophets saw the suffering of the Christ. They saw the Christ betrayed. They wrote about the body beaten. They wrote about him being numbered among the transgressors. They even wrote about his body being pierced. And they wrote about the glory that was to be his too. Isaiah 53, a few portions. "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from which people hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. He will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I'll give him a portion among the great." Yet earlier, Isaiah wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of the shadow of death, as light has dawned." And you know these words that start at verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." You know those words. "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He'll sit on David's throne. His reign and peace, they will go on." The prophet Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, wrote those things. And in Jesus, born of Mary, we see those fulfilled. There is a greatness to our salvation. A greatness that the prophets longed to see. The angels of heaven longed to see. The angels of heaven rejoiced outside of Bethlehem and filled the sky with the glory of God as the angels sang when Jesus was born. the grace that has come to you, all have longed to see and to know. Do you know the grace that they long to experience? Have you experienced the grace of God in all the fullness and meaning of forgiveness? Truly forgiven. Have you experienced the grace of God that takes your sins away completely as if they've never happened? Matthew 13, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, to hear what you hear but did not hear it." Many have longed to see and hear what you see and hear. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was crucified for sin, the iniquity of us all. That includes you. Jesus died and was buried for all. That includes you. On the third day, he rose. This Jesus is Savior. The prophets wrote about it. The apostles saw it and testified about it. Do you know it to be true in your own life? This Jesus is the Savior and only Savior. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and is through the forgiveness of your sins in his precious blood. Grace is here. Grace is moving here. Is this grace nudging your soul? The compassion of God grabbing hold of you and say, "Listen. These words are true and they are life." His grace is here for you. Turn to Jesus, the living God. There is a huge difference between being a good person and being a saved soul redeemed by Jesus. Don't confuse the two. A scoundrel can be a redeemed soul saved by Jesus. And the good person held up on that pedestal, a lost soul going not to heaven. The grace is here. Turn to Jesus, the living God. Good does not get you to heaven. Redeemed by the Son of God does. And that is the greatest thing you could ever have in your life. Only the saved and redeemed in Jesus by the grace of God will enter heaven. Do you know that grace? Have you experienced that grace? If not, be nudged by that grace this morning. For today is the day. Amen.